Coming up next, it's Natalie Cutler-Welsh with her show, Up Your Brave. Community, connections, holistic health, and more on RCR. Reality Check Radio.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks so much for taking the time to tune in and join us here on Reality Check Radio. Maybe you've been listening all morning. Maybe you enjoyed the breakfast show, and maybe you've just been listening to Marie on Counterculture. Well, I'm so thrilled that you're joining me here now on the Up Your Brave show. It is exciting times at the moment, pivotal, in fact, with the American election, with more and more people awakening every day, with more and more people discovering or leaning in to their spiritual side, and hopefully more and more people feeling empowered, while also feeling like it's okay and acknowledging when things are tough and asking for help. All of those things are my intention with this show. If you're new here, this is the Up Your Brave show. I am your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh. You can tell from my accent that I'm a Canadian Kiwi, a Kiniwi, I sometimes say. I am an essential oils nerd. I am a visibility and vitality coach. I'm a speaker and author, a mother of three teenagers. And for the moment, I am the mother, whatever, foster mom for a queen and six kittens, although we will be returning them to the SPCA very soon. On today's show, we're going to be talking about relationships, one of my favorite topics. This week, I've got the insightful and intuitive guests, Dan and Jenny Abdelnour, joining us from Relationship Rising. We're going to dive into various things, including how to create long-lasting and meaningful relationships. We're going to talk about patterns in the body, the relationship field, being seen and heard instead of being right. That's a good one. Going seven levels deep and more. As a couple, their gift is to be able to explain things from both the male and the female perspective. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the masculine and the feminine energies. It's very interesting. I'm excited for it. All right. After that, we're going to continue with our menopause series, which you might have been following. I've done a few menopause-related interviews. We're putting together a series. It's called The Menopause Map. And today I'll be chatting with Tracy Minok-Nuku, a guest suggestion from the amazing Marty, another fellow host. Tracy is a podcaster, an author, a menopause health champion, and her business is called Sexy Aging. Love that. We're going to discuss menopause, midlife, and the sandwich generation. Maybe you're in the sandwich generation. Maybe you've got elderly, ailing parents while also raising teenagers. We're going to dive into that and more. And for those of you, I know it's not everybody, but for those of you who are following the American election, and for me, it's probably one of the very few times that I'm actually keeping an eye on mainstream media, going to tap in to have a look, see what Fox and CNN are saying. The final states will be closing the polls at about 3 p.m. today, which is Wednesday, the 6th of November, which is, remember, the 5th of November in America. So things will be closing, although the true results, whether they're true or not, we'll wait and see. But the results will be revealed over the coming days and, of course, not confirmed for a wee while yet, a few weeks, I imagine. But stay tuned on Reality Check Radio. My fellow hosts will be covering this from all angles over the next few days. My perspective, as you may have guessed, is a little bit more holistic in the sense that I feel like whichever way it falls, you meaning whatever the outcome of the election, you could say whoever wins in air quotes, I feel like it is going to collectively result in the slowly but surely, awakening of humanity. And what do I mean by that? I mean, more and more people realizing that we are more powerful than we realize, humans, that we have been lied to on a number of fronts by various industries and individuals over the years, and not just the recent years, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. This is my view. So it's going to be an interesting time, I guess. As someone that has had struggled, like many of you have, over the last 4 or 5 years with various people with various perspectives, I'm hoping that it will be a bit of a shift for more and more people awakening and realizing that we have been lied to. But hey, I guess that will all be revealed. It'll be an interesting week. It'll be an interesting November, definitely. I'm going to go to a song, And then we'll be back. We're going to dip into the mailbag and see what our listeners have to say. So the first song we're going to go to is called No One's Watching Me. This is Ezra Collective and Olivia Dean. This song is about letting go, feeling the rhythm of the day, and connecting in the moment and to yourself. Enjoy.
You're listening to Up Your Brave on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
We absolutely love getting comments on social media and messages in the mailbox from you, our listeners. So here are some that came in over the past week. This is in response to my interview with Belinda Faulkner. We were talking about acupuncture, specifically Japanese style acupuncture. Thank you for this comment. We've got Ko Sha who commented, thanks so much. You're a really good, kind host, Natalie, and I so appreciate the neck tips. Thanks, Belinda. In that interview, Belinda kind of talked us through verbally an exercise that we can all do daily in our daily lives to improve our mobility and our posture. So that was really well received. Also on socials, thank you, Gary Mahler, for your comments. Go, Belinda. Another one from Kay Bishop. Look forward to listening to this, she said. And Sarah Trev, so cool, Belinda. Yes, we've got a lot of supporters out there. It is a big deal when people put themselves forward to be interviewed. It's a big thing. And I know that when I asked Belinda about the Up Your Brave question, and she said putting herself out there more to be more visible, to get more of her work and her, as I like to say, wisdom to the world, it is a little bit scary. I've got another one here from Jax. Please thank Belinda. Her self-care tips and knowledge just released my neck. Amazing. Well, that's great to hear. Very good. Thank you so much, everybody, for writing in. And I wanted to share with you a post that I just did just a few days ago on social media on my personal page. And this is what I wrote. If you were to write a book called The Art of ... what would the next 1 to 2 words be? And I would love to ask you the same question. If you, my lovely listener, because anyone can write a book, right? If you were to write a book called The Art of ... what would the next 2 words be? I'm going to share with you just a few of the 36 plus comments that people wrote. And here they are. I'm not going to say the names. I'll just say what they said. Mastering sovereignty, sacred relationships, communicating with spirit, your authentic self, self-motivation, hearing God speak, articulated conversation, being me, the art of health, the art of kindness and generosity, the art of loving yourself, aging ageless, financial organization, healthy deliciousness, speaking less and listening more, life, enoughness or belonging, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to share that with you because I think it's just a question I spontaneously thought I would ask. And I'm curious to hear what you would write about if you were to write such a book. You can send us a text 2057 or email inbox@realitycheck.radio and let me know. Well, my next guests coming up would write a book probably called The Art of Long-Lasting Relationships. Get ready to hear from the insightful and amazing Jenny and Dan Abdelnour coming up in a minute.
If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I'm talking to a couple. In fact, a relationship coach couple. I'm talking to Jenny and Dan Abdelnour on the topic of creating long-lasting relationships in a modern world. Welcome to the show, Dan and Jenny.
Good to be here.
So good to be here. Thanks for having us.
I'm so thrilled to dive into this. Relationships is something I've been obsessed with since back in the day when I wrote my parenting book, probably, gosh, about 14 years ago. For those of you that don't know Dan and Jenny, well, Dan and Jenny met on the dance floor in a Birmingham, UK venue back in 1998. Since then, they've spent 26 years traversing the highs and lows of a committed relationship. Today, they find themselves back where they started, completely in love. connecting with other couples and people struggling in similar relationship situations led them to share what they've discovered and a realization that they weren't alone in trying to figure out this great mystery. As Dan says, had things always been easy in our relationship, we'd never have moved into the relationship coaching space. Now, however, with their understanding of why couples start to drift apart and the lived experience of how to turn things around, they're assisting others wishing to take their relationship to the next level. Our work is more practical, felt, and tangible than traditional talk therapy, says Jenny, who also spent 25 years as a certified physiotherapist. They share their signature program, which is called the Relationship Code, through workshops, retreats, coaching, and online at www.relationshiprising.com. As a couple, their gift is to be able to explain things from both the male and female perspective, resulting in powerful insights and a fresh understanding of each other. I think this is something a lot of people will be interested in. Welcome to the show. And I'd love it to go to you first, Dan. Before we dive into your revelations and insights, I would love it if you could walk us through a little bit more of the backstory. How did you yourself, or possibly both of you, come to this place where you're now relationship coaches, as well as parents, as well as lovers?
Thank you, Natalie. So I come from kind of a church background in many ways. I was went to church for the first 20 years of my life. And then I met Jenny in a nightclub. My parents always told me you'll never meet a nice girl in a nightclub, but hey, there you go. And we had that kind of honeymoon period where things went really, really well, probably for a year or two. And then we hit that place where things just started to get a bit sticky and tricky, and patterns started to keep reoccurring. And rather than being able to solve them, they kind of got worse. And that probably went on for a decade until eventually it was like, there has to be something underlying here. There's something going wrong, because deep down I still love Jenny, but it wasn't a pleasant and joyful existence. You know, the frustrations with myself as much as with Jenny were getting worse by the year. And I thought, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in this space. So I took some time out, fully committed to Jenny. I literally said, I'm going away. And I went to the US, believe it or not. And I hired a car and I slept in the back of that car. And it was one of those kind of, I had one spoon, I had one fork, I had one bowl, and I was going to survive. And I had a mission to figure out what was wrong with my relationship back in New Zealand. And on that journey, I discovered what was wrong. And the surprise was, it wasn't so much Jenny as myself. And I realized that when I changed some things about myself and came back to Jenny, all the things I kind of dreamt of happening, all the things I wanted Jenny to change, they automatically came into fruition without me kind of even having to ask.
A few things that jump out at me there is, isn't it amazing how we can put up with something? I think you said 10 years, you know, so another 10 years go by and things are just, they're all right. They're not great. Isn't humanity fascinating, how we can just let time go by before we take what I like to call empowered action? And that was your sabbatical across the world. Is that common for people to wait so long?
I think you don't change until the pain gets unbearable. That's my truth.
And I love Dan's view and Dan's background of that. I had a similar journey over, although mine was much longer, of recognizing, as I'm a body worker, so I've had thousands of people hands-on on the treatment table, and I started to unpack and unpick the biodynamics of whatever issue their physical body was presenting with, whatever disease was presenting itself. There was a pattern, there was a story, and pretty much always it would come back into what is happening in their relational field. How are they feeling in all the spaces that they exist and live in? So I started to see all these patterns coming through, and my frustration, Natalie, was it seemed like I could help everybody else except myself. Mm-hmm. So it was a deeper dive to turn the mirror back towards myself and get under my own hood and get into my own, the viscera, the tissue, the organs, the organization of my own, what I was bringing to the relationship with Dan, and to be able to turn towards each other and not make each other wrong, but to drop into a place of depth and curiosity where we could start to really, take ownership, like radical responsibility of what I was bringing to the relationship, what I was emanating, what I was, bringing to our shared spaces.
Isn't it fascinating? So from your bio, I recall you were a physiotherapist. And isn't it fascinating how the body presents with physical and how some people, if they're just not open to noticing, like you said, the pattern, the emotional, relational, I think you used the term relational side of things, they might just keep going back, you know, jogging or going back to the physio, but never delving into the relationship side. Dan, I'm going to go to a question for you. I think you were mid-story when I interrupted you. How did you shift how you showed up? Like when you came back from that road trip with your spoon and your fork, you said that when you shifted, you changed, everything else changed. What did that look like?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there thinking, so what was the realization? So maybe if I kind of explain very briefly the realization. One of the key things which Jenny and I were aware of, but I hadn't realized that this was the kind of the real crux of the problem and the solution, was if you think of there being two different energies, and we can call them like masculine energy and feminine energy, which aren't specifically for men and women. So men have masculine energy and feminine energy, and women have masculine energy and feminine energy, and some women have a lot more masculine energy than some men, and vice versa. What had happened with our relationship, and the masculine, just so we're clear on this, is more about getting stuff done, finishing stuff off, completing it, and then being free. So there's nothing done. You can put your feet up, have a beer, and watch the telly.
And on the flip side of that, I guess the feminine energy, which is within Dan, within me, it's not gender specific, it's the law of the universe. Those qualities are much more about connection, about love, about life force, about vibrancy, vitality, well-being. So it has a different quality of always wanting more and more, and that quality of abundance, whereas the masculine has the desire for nothing, completion, end, finish, stop. And freedom.
And so I've got a big heart. As a man, I've got a huge heart. I got a lot of love. I love a lot of things in life, including my wife, including the relationship. And what had happened was I had effectively moved more into that feminine space of love and wanting to connect with Jenny and wanting the relationship to be deeper. And I was actually chasing Jenny. And Jenny had decided, well, if you're not going to be in the masculine space of getting stuff done, I'll move into that space. So she'd moved more into the masculine and was kind of more interested in freedom and was disappearing on retreats and workshops. And she'd gone. So we kind of flipped. And what my journey in America made me realize was, because I was wanting Jenny to be more loving and in that space of love with me specifically. And what I realized was I couldn't force her to come into the space of love. I actually had to lead as a man in that space of the masculine. And I had to stand in my space and my power and lead and listen and create. And when I moved into that space, with some pretty simple things, really, it wasn't rocket science, but I just hadn't realized that. When I could show Jenny, I got this, then she was able to, not all the time, but sometimes when she chose, in those moments where we wanted that connection and polarity and passion, she could move into the space of love, knowing that I'd got it and I knew what I was doing in that space. And that just changed everything.
What a simple thing. And I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to linguistics. And what I just wrote down is what she kind of needed from you and what you as a relationship needed, it sounded like, is for you to lead instead of need, right? Like you needed her to love you and that probably repelled her. Did it, Jenny? Did it kind of push you away?
That's a beautiful description, Natalie. Yeah, the leading, not needing. And for me, as I have a lot of energy. I have a lot to give and generosity. And that feeling, I mean, Dan probably okay with me saying this, it felt like he was needing to suck off the mother tit the whole time. So it had that quality, yeah, of the feeding, of needing that energy all of the time. And my strategy was to evade, to bolt, to be everywhere else, and to bring my love into every other place except in this space with Dan. So the patterns of defensiveness, evasion, avoidance, the stonewalling, being cold, being disconnected were all strategies that I found. And in our relationship, I'd become all spine and he'd become all heart. And it was really tricky for us to navigate how to bring that back to a healthier balance.
Mm.
I imagine some of our listeners are having a little bit of an aha moment, especially when you just talked about all spine versus all heart. And if you're listening, we would love to hear your thoughts. We would love to hear your reflections and your questions. You can send a text to 2057. You can send an email, if that is more your jam, to inbox@realitycheck.radio. We're talking today about creating long-lasting relationships in a modern world. So how do we create long-lasting relationships in a modern world? Do you have some specific do's and don'ts or practical tips you can share with us?
Absolutely. I feel one of the key things is actually this realization of where you're sitting on kind of, we call it the relationship code. It's like a roadmap. And you understand when you are more in the masculine and when you are in the feminine. And even just that basic realization helps you understand what's going on in when things get stuck. You know, if, for example, if you're a woman and you go to work and you're in that masculine kind of got to get stuff done, action orientated. No, not really about making connection and friends at work. It's getting stuff done. You're in your head. You're taking action. You're working hard. If you come home, just realizing what space you're in. And if you're, you know, maybe a man at home and you're in that masculine space as well, two of you are kind of then butting heads because you're both in that masculine space. Just being aware of that might be a good thing if you, I don't know, if you've got to, you know, stack some firewood and you just got to get something done quickly because it's going to start raining. But if you want to kind of come into a connection space, it's realizing, hang on, who's going to move more? If you want a bit more of that polarity, as we call it, which is where one is in the masculine holding space and one moves more into the feminine space. And it could be the man or the woman, but it's realizing, hang on, one of us needs to move. So it's a simple thing of, you know, maybe the man or the masculine partner says, hey, let me run your bath. Let me make you a cup of tea. You just go and, you know, relax. And
I think that is music to every woman's ears, just to make a broad generalization.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And what I love about it is I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy to change patterns, but it's not rocket science. I mean, most men can make a cup of tea and most men can run a bath. And it's that calm, I got you. You've done a, yeah.
So fascinating. Okay, so what I'm hearing from you, maybe something number one would be around recognizing the masculine or feminine, the state that you're mainly in. And if you're both in the same state, it's going to feel a little bit like you're repelling. Is it the same thing if you're both in more of the feminine role?
Yeah, that's a really beautiful point, Natalie. And it's recognizing there can be kind of three ways, if we were just box it into three ways that we can show up. Often in relationship, we have a couple that what I would call neutralized. They've neutralized each other. And it's really kind, it's really calm, and it's really safe. And everybody has their role. And there's no passion, there's no spark. It's like housemates, you know, they're together, but they're just housemates doing life. And then if you slide that polarity apart, you'd have like an extreme feminine, extreme masculine, whoever was holding those points. And what that creates is, if you like, an excessive charge, an extreme charge. So as well as maybe beautiful passion and connectivity, you also have handfuls and bagfuls of drama and chaos as well.
Oh, gosh.
So it's like there's a lot of passion and there's a lot of drama and there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of insanity. So there's like almost so much of that feminine energy. But most of the relationship ends up firefighting, ends up with conflict resolution or non-resolution, ends up with, conflict zone or a space of no man's land where stability, calmness and a direction is not found within that excessive or extreme pattern.
And again, it's that extreme happens when the feminine doesn't realize she's always wanting more more connection. I always need more. And the guy's going, God, I'm just trying to get out of here. He's always trying to bop for the door to go hunting, shooting, fishing. He's just trying to get away. And then the third situation is where that actually flips, like we had, where the masculine moves more into the feminine and the feminine is forced into the masculine.
And that's another pattern altogether. What happens inside a, you know, many relationships, one ends up feeling like they're mothering the other. So it ends up as a funky parenting role where neither is feeling empowered. One feels like the other's very needy, and there's a provision that's kind of out of balance as well. And that energy is like the two magnets that repel each other. So there's a moving away energy. One's the chaos draws you in, one is neutrality, and the other is the poles that pull apart.
Well, interesting states of being. We've got firefighting, we've got boring flatmates. And then we've got that last one. So what can we do about it once we know that we're in one of these places? What is there a simple, I know there's no simple solution, but is there something we can do to start? Because it's like a fine dance, it sounds like. Is there something we can do to maybe take a few steps towards each other or more in sync with each other to move towards this goal, really, of long-lasting relationships?
Beautiful question. The way Dan and I look at it is, you know, the old classic representation people used to talk about, this is my other half and my better half or my, yes, my lesser half, that kind of old adage.
My lesser half.
I've heard it. I've heard everything. That really had a gem within that. That was the preconceived idea that the other person made you a whole person. So the root kind of journey we take with people within the relationship code is coming to find the wholeness of who they are. That is often reclaiming parts of their psyche or their soma. So the pattern of their beliefs, behaviors, their kind of auto responses, and the somatic wisdom, the living intelligence of who they are, and the places they've outcast aspects of themselves. So it is a journey in a way of reclaiming the parts of yourself that make you a whole human being, so that a whole me can relate to a whole Dan. And that sets up a completely different relationship dynamic, which is much more, you know, what we look at in the how the earth and the electromagnetic fields of the earth, where there's a balance in the electric and the magnetic field. There's a Taurus field, and a relational field that is healthy starts to pattern itself and represent more of the toroidal field. So we end up with the Taurus coming into communication with another Taurus, as opposed to funky magnets that are either neutralizing, repelling, or attracting with a lot of dynamism.
And I love the way Jenny explains it. And we often talk about, yeah, that's how Jenny shares it. And in man speak,
we love man speak.
In man speak, it's almost like, for me, what happened was, I realized when I was in America, I was like a workman who only had a hammer. I had a hammer. That was me. And I thought it was fixed. And I thought, that's all I can do. And in America, I kind of realized, well, what about if I got a saw and I could do drilling as well? And I could have these other parts of me. I'd be a far more valuable workman. I'd be far more useful. I'd be far probably happier. I'd be able to do far more things in life. And so my journey, rather than just being this, I was a bit of a magician, was thinking stuff out. But I didn't have that much of that warrior, and I'd lost my lover energy, believe it or not. Even though I'd moved into the feminine, I was kind of, as you say, I was kind of vampiring off Jenny in a way. She was my source of love, and I'd lost my love. So when I brought my lover energy in, and I felt my wild man, which can feel and have fun and get out into the ocean and go tramping in the bush, and I have this warrior, I became so much more valuable. Life became so much more fun. I wasn't this fixed kind of workman with a one tool. And it allowed me basically to, 1 minute I'd be chopping wood and I'd be in that warrior. And then I'd literally walk in and I'd cuddle the dogs and I'd play with the kids for a moment. And then I'd be, I don't know, head down and do some kite surfing in the ocean. I'd be in my wild man. And then I'd get back home and give Jenny a kiss again. I'd be in the lover and jump into the magician energy and start doing some accounts and figuring out what we needed to do to kind of stay ahead and ahead of the game. I'd be in the magician. And I can dance around these quadrants which was so much more valuable. I was more conscious about what I was doing. Life became more fun. And I became more authentically me because I was bringing all these parts to the game rather than what I had been, which was very much stuck in one area.
If you're listening and you've just joined us, this is the Up Your Brave show. We're talking today to Jenny and Dan Abdelnour. And my question for you, do you find yourself stuck in one of the quadrants, as Dan says, and how can you navigate or dance around instead of being stuck in just one? Have a little think about it. What else would you say? I'll go to Jenny for this one. What else would you say are some of the other main issues? So let's say being stuck in a quadrant might be one. What are some of the other main issues that cause relationship breakdown that get people to this point where they're having, like, you know, it's either boring flatmates or their fireworks or the mothering thing? What are some of the breakdown reasons for the breakdown?
Yeah, one of the biggest reasons for breakdown in relationships is that minefield called communication. And that is a space that Dan and I danced around for many years, and that is always a texture and a terrain that we need to cover when we work with couples. And, you know, at that deepest core level, human beings, all human beings, I sense they want to be seen. They want to be heard. And when we can combine both of those, again, those are qualities of masculine and feminine, they alchemize together in we want to be known. We actually want to be known. So communication, when we realize it's about being known and being met exactly as we are where we are, it starts to dissolve the patterns of one person needing to be right or forcing an opinion or a whole energy dump happening or the blame and shame game starting to play out in relationship dynamics. So a beautiful tool that Dan and I often use with ourselves, you know, everything we've done, we've run it through ourselves first. We are a test run and other couples, is to support people in a practice I call going 7 layers deep, which is entering below like the surface level of I've got this thing and I'm feeling this thing. And it's a practice of like, and just underneath that, I feel dropping down and in. Underneath that, I feel. Underneath that, I feel. And in couples and in relationship, to have the capacity and willingness to witness somebody else dropping deeper inside themselves to get to the golden nugget of what it is they're trying to share seems to be like the golden bullet of dissolving conflict, dissolving what I call no man's land, where there's that tension in communication. And to have ourselves met in the heart with whatever it is we want to share, to know that that's a safe space to be seen, to be heard, to be known, seems to create this harmony and this safety for the heart. And in couples, we see a lot of the walls go down, a lot of the defense mechanisms, a lot of the reactivity. So when communication can be a place where we come to respond to each other, as opposed to being right or winning and losing, it's like everything changes. Everything changes.
I think part of the key is having somebody else prompt you with the right questions, or making sure, like, part of that activity, I imagine, would be the importance of listening instead of jumping in. I know I've been in dialogue in previous experiences where I say, I feel like this, and the person goes, yeah, well, so do I.
So, yes.
Right. So it's sometimes having a third party, like you guys who know, you know what you're doing, to either pose the right questions or to just gently facilitate to get down to that, the 7 levels. And I'm kind of picturing like an elevator, but, you know, going down, 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 because they might get to like level 3 submerged, and then they go back up to level 1 and it goes off the rails again. Yeah. Are you finding this is a skill that couples can learn?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, should we try and demonstrate it? Is it worth trying to do a demonstration? Should we do a very brief one? Just, we'll do it off
yes,
the fly.
By all means.
Do you want to, it works really well when I feel when there's a little bit of tension there and you're wanting to share, and it helps you get to what the, you know, rather than heading off into a story.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the nugget, and below that, the nugget. So maybe I'll kind of make it up that if I was to come in stomping my feet a bit and slamming the door or something, and Jenny said, babes, come and sit down. Like, I want to share. And Jenny, if you want to do, yeah. So this is where, that's the situation. I've come in. I'm a little bit frustrated, maybe.
Yeah, because I would honour that there's a charge there. I call it a charge. Yeah. It's like something's been lit. There's a flame been lit. So I'd say, yeah, babe, I can feel there's a charge here. Is there something you want to share with me?
Yeah. And it's basically, you know, the plants outside are dying because they haven't been watered. And I've asked the kids to do it. And I've asked them so many times.
Mm. Yeah, feeling that. And underneath that, what do you feel?
I feel like I sometimes fail as a father
And feeling like you fail as a father, underneath, what's underneath that feeling?
Sadness.
I can feel that sadness. Yeah. Just do one more layer. And what's underneath that?
Massive amounts of love for you and the kids and the family. And that's kind of, that's not like...
Wow, I feel like you went from one to like five.
Yeah, we've done it a couple of times. So that's what happens, right?
Yeah, because he was able to straight away go, I feel like a failure as a father. It would take some guys, you know, five more drops on that elevator to get there. Yeah.
Yeah. And essentially, just like you said, Natalie, it's like an elevator. And essentially, we're moving out of the head, or the frontal lobe way of communicating or relating, into the field of the heart, which is so much more permissive, so much more expansive, and is a sanctuary for anything to be heard and met. So it's a really great kind of biohack that people find prevents the kind of crisis stages that they used to get in. And we hear couples say, oh, we used to have, you know, six of those a year where we wouldn't speak to each other for 3 weeks. And they notice now that they can catch that before a no thing becomes a really, really big thing. So the whole rhythm and pattern in people's years actually changes with a very simple communication tool.
And if I can just jump in, one of the things I love about it is the simplicity in some ways, in that when I shared it, because Jenny gave that space, I was able to hear it and feel it.
Mm.
And that's where, when we give ourselves space in this communication, we're able to feel and go, what's the truth? I feel like a failure.
Mm. Which is, that's huge to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And thank you for role modeling that and role playing that. But I mean, Jenny, you did so well, and it's great for us to see how it is done by people who know what they're doing, to allow him that space and to really hear him and say, yeah, I feel that, and just allow him. Whereas a lot of us, myself included, because I do have a very solutions masculine energy, I'd be like, well, what are you going to do about it? Like, that is normally what I would say. All and he's like, I just want you to hear me. And I'm like, yeah, but what's your plan?
or they start saying, but you do so many other good things. You know, you do a great job with it. It's like, you didn't get me. You didn't hear me. I'm not looking. And even now I can feel it. This is the pattern. It's like, I'm not looking for a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
So I sense that communication piece. I'm just feeling this live, is allowing someone to go where they need to go to reconnect to themselves and their authentic truth of their heart in that moment. And the truth of the heart in that moment doesn't need very much. It actually doesn't need anywhere near as much as the symptomology or the band-aids we get used to doing for each other to patch people up, to move them away from the intensity of meeting another in their heart field.
And in this situation, Jenny was actually holding more of the masculine role of listening, witnessing, holding, keeping... feeling that place of holding and keeping safe. And I was dropping into the feminine, opening my heart and feeling and sharing and connecting. And this piece is where, you know, the word intimacy kind of springs up, and that's into me see. It's the chance to see into the truth of my heart, which is connection at the end of the day. That's it.
Was such a powerful exercise, and something I imagine people can try and get better at. We might fall into our habits of interrupting or, like you said, patching someone up. That's got to be so common. Oh, but honey, you're really good at this, and you also do that. It's like, no, but that's not helping. So thank you so much for that demonstration. What are some other things before we move on and before we wrap things up? I'd like to ask you actually this. What are some common questions that people come to you with or insights that you find having worked with people?
I mean, Jen, do you want to jump in? One of the things from a guy's point of view, and I'm generalizing here, but one of the things that a lot of men want more of is more action in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do I get more action in the bedroom? And what I love about this is, you know, I could admit I was one of those men. For me, what I've loved about this journey is rather than trying to discover some trick for the bedroom, the solution for us has been when we actually sort out the relationship, kind of everyday relationship, and we step into our full power and I move into that space of being more in the masculine more of the time, or at least I know how to get there and I can be authentic, and Jenny's in the other space or and the love, and we've got a good intimacy during the day. You know, I've heard the term of kind of, you know, or connecting all day long. So we're not like at loggerheads and then trying to get it on in the bedroom. Mm. We're actually in love. Then the bedroom takes care of itself because you're in love. And the longer you're in love and the more you love each other, the more you actually feel like going deeper and sharing, and the trust's there and the love's there. And it's quite amazing. So the opposite is to kind of trying to find some kind of trick, which might work a few times or a few weeks, but that's the secret of long-lasting relationship. It's about being true and authentic.
That's beautiful.
I think a lot of men will be asking that same question. I'm going to use that to promote the interview. How to get more action in the bedroom. You know, when I first started writing my book, and I wrote my book called If Only They Told Me, because, and this will be my next question, but I found it so much harder on the relationship when the kids came along. I really found it shifted the dynamic. And I was like, why did nobody tell me this? Why did they just talk about the nappy bag and the stroller? Why didn't they talk about the relationship? But one of the things I found in my research is there was an American, some coaches, and they talked about what they call chore play. So chore play is the importance of the man, you know, helping around the house. You know, you're more likely to get action in the bedroom. I don't know how true that is, but I thought that was pretty catchy. What is your reflection on that? Did you notice for yourself, or maybe for some people you work with, did the dynamic in the relationship shift when they had children?
100%. And that is often a crunch zone where we get to work with couples, because everything changes. You're not only two living fields working and weaving with each other. There's, you know, more beings, more life forces in there. What we've found with the relationship code is people are able to orientate themselves and to find out how they can best work while navigating with little ones or teenagers, you know, whatever stage of life we're at. And our kids now know about masculine, feminine. They use these concepts and tools all the time. We can navigate off and from each other in these amazing ways where we're each pretty responsible for what we're bringing and what's on top and what we're presenting with. But the relationship dynamics with children is one of the biggest amplifiers of potential shadows that were probably running in the relationship before the kids came along. So it's a big place that we love to bring our work.
And, you know, I'm not for one second saying it is easy, because, you know, anyone who's got a couple of, you know, a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, I mean, I remember going, this is absolute madness. This never stops. It's mayhem. However, at least when you understand where you and your partner are, you've got a chance, you know, at least you're not annoyed at your partner because they're not all, you know, if we say the woman or the person who's in the feminine, who's been looking after the children all day. Once you realize they have been in their head, juggling 1,000 things, keeping the bottle warm, changing the nappy, changing that, getting that one up, dressing, all these things, they're in their head and having to take action. So they may have a big heart and love their children, but changing, you know, 15 nappies a day and feeding them 5 times, and it's masculine. There's a lot of masculine effort and energy sometimes required, especially if you're doing a trip to the zoo and you've got to come back. It's nonsense. So just realizing that it can force, you know, somebody into that space, and you've been at work all day, and that's what it is. Again, you go, so we've both been in this masculine space, working hard effectively all day. Yes, I've had 2 children, but how, if you want to create some polarity, it's recognizing that and then going, so how could I place create a space, maybe just for an hour, for my partner again. To, you know, if I was to say, babe, I'm so grateful. I know it's, you've probably worked as hard, if not harder than me today, looking after these two. Mm-hmm. And I want to give you an hour, have a bath, da da da. I'm going to make dinner. I'm going to do my best to make dinner. And yes, you might be wanting to create a charge and polarity. So you might, something might happen in the bedroom. You've got to be able to let go of that. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And come from that place of love and say, I'm going to do this anyway, regardless, because I love you.
I think that's so helpful to highlight the masculine feminine there, because I would have thought, you know, oh, she's the mother. She spent, and I remember, right, 5 hours a day in the kitchen, yes. You know, loads of laundry a day. I had three kids under the age of five. And so I would have think that would be totally the feminine role, but it's not. It's doing motherly things, but they're absolutely in the masculine. I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that. I'm going to hang out the washing. Oh, the baby's asleep. I'm going to, right? We're just so in that zone. And for the husband to come in and give us that little window of feminine time or an invitation or an opportunity to sidestep, segue for a moment into some feminine energy, I think that is just magic. Thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah, it's a big piece, because that's where couples, when children come along, they'll often turn towards each other and they compare, I've done more than you. Can't you see how much I've suffered more than you? So it becomes this tension of, can't you see how hard I've got it? And that place, there is so much magic that can be turned. So much can be changed in that moment. From that tension of comparison, where literally both working places are like a military operation, and it's the relentlessness. So the feminine, when she is having to be in that masculine all the time, the relentlessness, it never stops. So she's asking for a break to drop into, like, can I just feel me? Can I connect to my body? Can I actually have my own body space for, you know, a minute? And I remember those days locking myself in my car to hide away from the kids, or like, you know, these times of, can I feel me? Because when the feminine can't feel herself, there's a void within every relationship. So sometimes it's recognizing what part of what we call the quadrants or the archetype is missing, and how can we gift the whole relationship this archetype, which is often the love that is missing. And that lover quality, that loving energy.
Dan, I'll go to you for one more comment, or maybe you might have another tip or insight for us around creating long-lasting relationships before I ask you the Up Your Brave question. Go ahead.
So another tip regarding long-lasting relationship, it comes back to this, you know, I was very much kind of, if we want to use that term, sucking off the mother tit. It's this kind of, you've got the love, Jenny, and I want some of it for me. So I was trying to get love from Jenny. And the key thing was discovering how I could fill my own bucket, fill my own well. And then I was full. You know, sure, I still want to connect with Jenny, but I'm coming from a place of fullness. So it was realizing, you know, whether it was going kite surfing or treating myself to, you know, a new haircut and spending time, some money on clothes, or just going out with my friends. I'm going out with my mates and we're going to have a meal, and rejoining the soccer club and taking time for me on a Saturday to play 3.5 hours of football. I came back full. Got friends, I got, you know, and that was a game changer. Because Jenny could see it, Jenny could feel it. And Jenny realized she was coming into a relationship with a man who was full of love.
And that was when your kids were slightly older, correct?
Well, yeah, it was probably a decade ago. It was pretty tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of at that point when I was like, this is not good. How can we turn this around? Yeah. So as the kids started growing up, I was like, yeah, I definitely can make these changes. Yeah.
I really feel that, you know, and I often talk about ages and stages. Like if the kids are really young and you're like, I'm going out with my mates, I'm going to get a haircut, I'm going kite surfing, it would be like, no thanks. But if they're older and they're busy, like I've got three teenagers right now, it's like now there's way more time as a parent. And I feel like you're right. It's so important for the guy, the dad, to lead and not need, what we were talking about earlier. And I think it's especially relevant as the kids are more independent and there's a bit more time. So thank you so much for those insights. All right, we're going to go to the Up Your Brave question. We're going to start with you, Jenny. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
what would I do or not do? What I would do, which I am doing, is courageously stepping into the homeschooling journey with my children.
Ooh.
And that, in a way, is a whole other relationship dynamic and configuration. So it's stepping into more than me, more than Dan, this whole relationship field of how can I turn towards myself and how can I turn towards my family and steer the walker, for want of a better word, steer that walker from a place where we've been in survival patterns, intergenerational survival patterns from such a long time back, to a pattern of thrival and breaking rules, breaking code, breaking protocols. So in a way, it's crumbling of the old paradigms, crumbling of the old patterns, and courageously stepping into the unknown with the children. And for me, the Up My Brave is about exampling in the world as all of who I can be.
That is amazing. And, you know, it is so popular, isn't it, right now? So many people doing homeschooling. And I commend you for that. That is so amazing. What about you, Dan? What does Upping Your Brave look like for you?
Well, we've just run another retreat for 5 days and it was just off the charts, amazing and beautiful. And I loved it so much. So we've pretty much decided we're going to take this to the world and we're going to travel to different countries. We're going to go and visit my parents in the UK. And on the way there, we're stopping in East Coast of Australia, West Coast of Australia, Bali and the UK. And we're going to do retreats there as well with people and some on the way back probably as well. So
homeschooling and retreats. Amazing. You know, before we started recording, I did say to you, you know, what was one of the biggest takeaways, you know, from the retreat? And you talked about dead men walking. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, from my point of view, it was like men who really struggled to feel, who couldn't take that handbrake off their feelings, who couldn't open the heart. And there were some men there who, you know, probably had a closed heart for 40, 50 years, half a century of not really being able to cry and feel. And they took those handbrakes off. And their words, I'm a new man. I am a new man. I found life. And, you know, 60, 70-year-old men, you know, how long left have we got?
Yeah.
And so to find life and be able to cry and feel those emotions and look at their partner in the eye and hold them and hug them and see the smile on their face as they embraced. And it was like, I'm back. I did it. I found life. I found love. And I'm never going to let go of this for the rest of my life. That's just like, wow.
And it was literally like seeing all these people, and we know this is happening in the world, right? People in sheep's clothing, suddenly they rip that off, the heart comes forward, and here are the lions. Mm. Here are the lions that are ready to step in with the courage and the conviction and that full capacity to be exactly who they need to be at this time of change.
Yeah.
Well, bring it. I'm excited for people to, you know, up their brave and be who they truly are. I think that the work that you do is so powerful. It's so easy for men, especially, to put that handbrake on. And I feel like we just want them to be who they are. We do want them to feel. And we know that in order to heal, you do need to feel. So thank you for the work you do. How can people connect with you? Where can they find you online? And what else is coming up in the coming months?
So you can find us at relationshiprising.com. We're also at facebook.com/relationshiprising. And if you want to find more about what we do and the courses, the kind of you do it yourself course, and there's courses for men and for women and for couples, and there's practices with all of those, and that's at relationshiprising.com. And we've actually put together a special offer for all of your listeners.
Yeah.
And the coupon code, so it's 25% off, and the coupon code is RCR. So if you go to relationshiprising.com, there's programs there for men, women, and couples, and all the exercises and practices that changed my life and changed it, we've put them in there so people can go, how do I bring through more of this warrior energy, or how do I bring through more of this masculine? It's all in there, and 25%.
Yes, because you talked about the magician and the warrior.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you so much on behalf of our listeners. I love when my guests do a special offer. And whether you're listening to this on the live stream, everybody, or you're listening to the replay a few months later, you can grab this. I think it's until the end of 2024 with that promo code 25%.
Yep, till the end of the year, yeah.
Perfect. RCR at relationshiprising.com. Amazing. Anything else coming up that you want to mention? Or
I think that's it. Yeah, I think we'll be at festivals and stuff. So if you're interested in where you can find out about us, maybe private messages from the Facebook, relationshiprising.com. And we can let you know when we've had it confirmed that we're doing workshops and if there's any retreats coming up. But we haven't got anything locked in just as yet.
Amazing.
But, we will be doing some retreats before we leave New Zealand in early April.
Amazing. And any social medias they can follow you on if you didn't already say it?
The main one we're on is Facebook at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. All right. Well, go to each of you for any final words that you'd love to share with our listeners around today's topic, which is creating long-lasting relationships in a modern world. Anything else you'd like to share? We'll go for you, Jenny.
The piece I would love to share, which is a piece to encourage people in their hearts to keep turning towards the one they're with, is, you know, everywhere you go, there you are. So often if we keep moving to the next person and the next person and the next person, we are only meeting ourselves at that level and that space. So the invitation to keep turning towards the one that you're with and to go deeper and to open the bandwidth of who you are and the depth capacity of who you really are is a rewarding experience beyond any of my wildest dreams.
Beautiful. What about you, Dan?
I'd say dare to dream. You know, I know how far off the mark I was as a man. You know, I'd almost say I was doing almost the opposite of everything I'm doing now. And it's kind of, I'm not saying it's easy, but it's fairly simple. You know, once you know what you got to do, that's it. And then break those patterns and change. And when you change, the whole world around you changes. So yeah, it's a message of hope.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dan and Jenny, for joining us today.
Thank you, Natalie. Appreciate it.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.
You're listening to Up Your Brave on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jenny and Dan. Always good to get a male and female perspective to talk a little bit about masculine energy, feminine energy. We all have both. And a lot of really good concepts, including that seven levels deep, firefighting, patterns in the body, the relationship field, etc. That's very generous. If you want to get in touch with them, they're offering 25% off. You can use the code RCR and go to their relationshiprising.com website. You can also follow them on the socials as well. Now, the song that they've chosen is a long song and a lovely song. It's Devonair by Anjali Dubeau. And they say this song captures the strength and love of the human spirit. Here it is. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh here on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I am chatting with Tracy Minock Nuku all about the topic of menopause, midlife, and the sandwich generation. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Hey, thank you for having me, Natalie. It's an honor to speak about something that I speak about every day.
so good. And a huge shout out to Marty, who connected us. And I was very intrigued when he initially connected us because he said your website, your Instagram is sexy aging. So I was like, oh yeah, she sounds like someone I want to have on my show.
Yeah, I get that a lot. People are like, oh, I love how you use the word sexy and aging and how did you come to that? But I guess we're going to talk about that, right?
Yeah, we're going to dive right in. For those of you that don't know Tracy, Tracy is the founder of Sexy Aging, a digital resource hub for menopause information. Tracy has over 3 decades of experience in the fitness industry and uses her background in health, fitness, and wellness to support women with the challenges of menopause. Well, yeah, I would love to hear about the backstory of that. So Tracy, you are a podcaster, an author, a menopause health champion. Tell me a little bit more about your personal journey to become those things.
Well, as you've already mentioned, I've spent many years in the fitness industry. So I feel like what I do today perfectly aligns with that experience. But yeah, back in the day, you know, going through university and phys ed school and then working for Les Mills International, I moved overseas pretty early into my career and ended up living overseas and working in the fitness industry for 20 years. And in the back end, I'm fast forwarding quite quickly now, the back end of my time away, my husband and I had started or co-founded our own company, a fitness boutique business called Fire Fitness. And as we were going through that experience, I was also experiencing perimenopause symptoms, but I didn't know that that's what they were at the time. So for example, I would wake up multiple times in the night, sweating, anxious, sore joints, didn't feel like I could recover from workouts, lots of foods that I used to eat, I couldn't eat anymore. And then the anxiety kicked in, and I didn't know whether the anxiety was just the fact that we had created a new business or whether I was actually having anxiety, which I'd never experienced in my life. So all these things kind of compounded to about 4 years before I actually saw the word perimenopause and thought, wow, what the heck? Why have we not been told this? And even when I reflect back in my own education, you know, with a woman's body and understanding how the woman's body works, never knowing that the hormonal dysregulation that kicks off the menopause experience, I'd never heard about that. So I was a bit angry, pissed off, and I wanted to talk more about it. And that was the catalyst to starting my own podcast, which is called Sexy Aging. I also wrote about my own experience because I felt that it was cathartic in a way to write down my experience with 35 perimenopause symptoms and align what I was learning about each symptom and how to manage it. So I spent a lot of time in the presence of menopause specialists, and I went and studied further menopause fitness education so that I could really understand my situation. And then that kind of jump-started the whole helping women understand their own bodies, helping them understand how to stay fit and well, helping them understand that menopause is the gateway to aging and that there's actually a lot of things that you can do and adjust to ensure that, you know, the 40% remaining years of your life in post-menopause are good years, healthy years, strong years. And so, you know, have a website and launched a fitness app to support women in menopause. So yeah, that's the fast forward version.
Yeah, well, what not a dull moment. That's so impressive. You launched a company and an app. I'd love to start with the gateway to aging, because you're right. It's fascinating to me, isn't it? That 4 years went by, you had these symptoms, you didn't know exactly what they were. And a lot of women go through some of these things. Are you saying there are 35 symptoms as such, or you personally had 35 yourself?
Yeah, I'll answer both questions. So according to the International Menopause Society, sort of globally, they recognize 35 symptoms of menopause. There are more than the list that we've discovered over time. And at the time that I was writing about my experience, I'd had 29. And I actually tapped into some of the guests that had been on my podcast to have them share and write about their experiences with the symptoms that I hadn't had. But since the book is now published, I've had the other symptoms as well. And I continue to get random little things that I know are probably linked to, you know, estrogen fluctuations. So, like, I don't think I wrote about heart palpitations. And I had that, you know, like a little bit later, a couple of years after the book was launched. So, it's like, 35 known symptoms. I can say I probably had those plus some now. and for any woman that's out there thinking, oh, you know, like how many symptoms are there? I think what happens is it's a bit like a bingo card, you know. You have a few of those symptoms and then those go away and then some of the other ones pop up on the card. So get ready. It's a roller coaster. It's full of surprises. And you can come through the other end feeling pretty good, actually.
Well, it's a good thing the bingo card doesn't give you all at the same time.
Yeah.
I was chatting with a guest the other day and I was saying, I feel like I've had a bit of an easy ride, but maybe I don't want to speak too soon. I don't know if I'm in peri or menopause. So that's going to be my next question. So if someone is a woman, or maybe they're married to a woman and they're like, how do I know if my wife is going through it? Like, how do they know if it's peri? And peri, I imagine, means small, or menopause.
Hey, your questions are really good. And they're actually asked a lot. So there is that confusion between what's peri and what's meno. Now, menopause is actually just one day, and it's 365 days without a menstrual period. And everything after that is postmenopause. But perimenopause, you said it was small. It's actually the hardest stage for women because it is all
Well, I was
the
thinking
symptoms.
Like Periscope.
Yeah.
What is it? I should have studied Latin at school, but yeah.
No, I get where you're coming from and I can understand why you would think that. But we also liken it to the like puberty, but way worse. So some of the symptoms of perimenopause mirror those that you would experience in puberty. Because there is radical, you know, hormonal fluctuations. And so the perimenopause symptoms, some of the very first symptoms a woman might experience from as early as mid-30s is periods that change. So your regular monthly cycle may change. It might get shorter, longer, heavier, or lighter. So any combination of. And that would be one of the very first symptoms. And then the next one is a change to your sleeping habits or sleeping patterns. Now, this is quite hard to explain because it takes a couple of years before you realize, oh gosh, I haven't slept for like 2 years. And it could be any combination of life things that are happening. And we did say that we're going to talk about the sandwich generation. So at this particular stage of the menopause life cycle, perimenopause is also the time when women are possibly increasing their responsibilities in the workplace. They may have teenagers as well, and their parents might be aging and needing them a little bit more. They may have much higher financial obligations. So there's a lot of things that are impacting on a woman at this stage of life, and she's going through perimenopause. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, thank you for defining that, because I think some people would not have ever even heard the term or known what it meant. The sandwich generation, I would say I'm kind of in the sandwich. I've got half of the bun, but not the whole bun, because my parents are actually really healthy and well. I do have teenagers. Yeah. And I'm definitely in perimenopause. So thank you for the explanation. Mm. And also, I think it's so important to note that, like you said, you know, you don't worry, you will come out stronger. So it's really a fine balance of acknowledging some of these symptoms, or as some of my previous guests like to say, expressions of menopause, while also knowing this is quite a magical time. Can you talk to me about the different perspectives of how we view menopause and the impact that can have?
I believe, and just from my experience being in the menopause space now, there is quite a fear factor associated with being in perimenopause and menopause. I'll just say that. So when women first find out or have a discussion around perimenopause, they often say, oh, wow, it feels really scary, or it sounds really scary. And there are parts of it that do feel like you're having tough days, for sure. I won't sugarcoat it. But I feel like that comes a lot from not knowing what it is and how to manage it and how to support yourself and not being able to talk about it. So now that we're kind of busting through that and there is a lot more discussion around menopause and how we can support women through this life stage, that removes a little bit more of the fear factor, because a fact is we're all going to go through it. 51% of the world's population is going to go through menopause. One of the things I like to say about menopause is I take the word pause, and pause is a moment in time, a moment in your life where you can reflect on how do you want to live the rest of your amazing life, which is probably 40 up to 50% of your life you still have in postmenopause. So that sort of 8 to 10 years of symptoms is actually a really good time to go, okay, what's working for me? What's not working for me? A lot of the things that you have to change are how you move and what you eat and stress reduction. So that pause moment really does make you think about the things you're going to do to look after yourself. And that for me is a positive. Like, while it doesn't feel positive while you're actually in it, the more that you start to change up the way you move, eat, sleep, and stress reduce, the better things become. Like, you become clearer in your thinking, you become better with your relationships, more empathetic and compassionate. Just a whole lot of things that, you know, you often meet some women who are maybe older, late 50s, 60s, and they seem to be really loving life. They like laugh a lot, or they're always having great conversations. And you feel like if you were a fly in the room and, you know, is that saying, a fly on the wall kind of thing, listening into these conversations, you would learn a lot from these people, because they really have come through quite a tumultuous time of their life. And now they're really, really comfortable with who they are. I'm at the back end of perimenopause, so I'm feeling like I'm seeing the light and it looks really good ahead. So I can give a little bit of hope for anyone who's like in their perimenopause full experience. It does get better, but you've got to take care of yourself.
Well, let's dive into some of that now. You talked about there's some things we can do to move, eat, sleep, and stress reduce. What are some practical things that our listeners can do? And if these are men, they can share the wisdom with the woman in their life. What can we do to make the journey a little bit more enjoyable?
Yeah, I always start with sleep. Sounds like counterintuitive when you want to be busy and doing stuff and like losing weight and all the things, but sleep actually helps because our hormones are quite dysregulated at this time and it does impact on your sleep. So one of the first things you want to try and do is implement some sleep hygiene tools that help you sleep better, sleep longer, sleep deeper. So one of those things actually is waking up first thing in the morning, getting some sunlight into your eyes, and that helps with your circadian rhythm. So I often say that your best night's sleep starts first thing in the morning. So that would be my first thing with sleep. My second thing would be to reduce your stress, and this goes along with sleep. So doing some meditation or breathing before you go to sleep really helps, but it also helps you to bring down those cortisol levels, and we know that meditation does that. There's so much science that supports it. Journaling, there is, you know, science that supports the concept of writing down positive thoughts because it increases your dopamine, which also helps you sleep better, feel better. So those are the two things around sleep and stress reduction. Then I get on to movement, and the number one thing that a woman should be doing through all stages of life, to be honest, is strength training 2 to 3 times a week. Now, with women that have never done any kind of strength training before, any kind of movement, 10 to 15 minutes a day, just do that, right? And I come from a fitness background, so I know where you need to be going, but I feel like we're the fitness professionals are quite hard on people, like, you've got to be doing it like this. And I'm like, well, I know a lot of people who've never exercised in their life. And so how do they get started? So find the thing that lights you up, that when you go, I love doing this and it lifts my heart rate and I feel really good, keep doing that. Okay, that's what I'm going to say. But we know that lean muscle tissue really, really does help support menopause symptoms, and having more of it helps to regulate your insulin, because insulin also impacts on weight gain. So having more lean muscle tissue is going to support that, but it's also going to support your long-term health. We know that people with more lean muscle tissue are healthier generally. Okay, so it ticks all the boxes for a few recommended things to support your health long-term.
Okay, I'm going to jump in because we're doing a little bit of terminology. Lean muscle tissue. So are you saying that if we do some weights, and I believe for women, it's supposed to be like heavier, not super light and lots, but like heavy and not too many. So talk to me about lean muscle tissue. What is that exactly? How do we get it?
Yeah, so we all have muscle on our bodies, but as we age, we lose that muscle quite rapidly. And losing the muscle becomes a problem because it also decreases your bone density. It also makes it harder to lose weight if you start to change your body composition. So you're losing lean muscle tissue and your body fat is going up. And that's what we see quite commonly in the menopause life stage. So we want to maintain as much lean muscle tissue as possible. And this is really good, healthy tissue on our bodies. You can also build this tissue later in life. So it's irrespective of age, you can get more of it just by lifting weights. And that lean muscle tissue helps us burn fuel. It helps keep our joints strong, keeps our bones strong, keeps our heart healthy, keeps our brain functioning. So that lean muscle tissue is like the gold standard of longevity. What else do you need to know about lean muscle tissue? Okay, I like to liken it like this. It's like a suitcase, right? And you're going to go on holiday. When you open up the suitcase, there's nothing in it. And so the suitcase feels quite light. You can swing it around. And when you pack all your clothes and you close the suitcase and you zip it up, the suitcase remains the same size, but now it's a lot heavier. And so when you try to carry that heavy suitcase, still the same size, down to the Uber, you're sweating. So having that extra lean muscle tissue is likened to a heavier suitcase, although you are technically the same size. Very hard for women to get bigger with, you know, just building lean muscle tissue 2 or 3 times a week. What we ultimately want to do is have a very heavy suitcase that burns a lot of fuel and makes you sweat. That's what we want to do.
Okay. Heavy suitcase, lots of sweat.
Yeah.
Got it.
Burning fuel.
Burning fuel. Yeah. And, you know, I've been so inspired. My listeners know I'm obsessed with going to my far infrared hot yoga studio. I'm actually wearing their t-shirt right now. I go there four, maybe five times a week. This is from someone who literally did not step foot in a gym for about 30 years since university, or 25 or however long it's been. But what I love is seeing the diversity of women in that room, shapes and sizes, and everyone's doing their thing, and there's music, and we're like really excited for each other, and we're seeing the results. And so I feel like it's so important. How important is community in helping women to achieve these fitness goals?
So important. Like, we know that the world's longest centenarians, or the people that live the longest centenarians, come from the blue zones. And there is a common factor. The blue zones are parts of the world that have these, you know, lots of old people that are living really healthily. And the common factor is community. So in all of them, they have different ways that they eat, they have different ways that they move, but the common thing that they've said is that they have people around them all the time, or they're part of a community, whether it be a library, a book club, or a knitting club, or a gardening club, or a walking club. So I feel like for women, this is kind of a go-to. Like, we also, women live longer. There is that factor as well, is that we do like to do things in groups. We're social beings. It does elevate your mood, does help support your dopamine, which depresses anxiety, feelings of anxiety. So yeah, I think it's super important, community. In actual fact, I often talk about that, and I didn't mention it before when I gave you the four things that I recommend, but community's right up there. And just the ability to speak openly about this quite challenging life stage, having people around you that you can share examples or challenges that you're having. I think it's, it's super important.
So good. I think you're right. You know, so there's a fine balance between being able to speak openly versus like whinging about things. And I don't know, but everyone probably has a friend or knows someone who just loves to, you know, complain. But there's a difference between acknowledging how what we're going through versus complaining about it with a negative energy. How much of that, the language we use, and the mindset, how much of that can impact our menopause journey?
Yeah, I think it does. And I feel like we, as women who are experiencing perimenopause symptoms, we might get into that mindset quite quickly before we even realize that we are. And a lot of that has to do with the estrogen. So I just want to let women know, it is your hormones. So if you were not really a negative or moaning person before, that could be expected, because life does feel more challenging. It does. Your body does hurt. You're not sleeping, you know, so these things that are happening do affect your mindset. One of the ways that I feel like, but it feels kind of woo-woo, but actually being grateful for all the things that are happening, that are good in your life, even during this, you know, challenging life stage, I think it really does help. But so does HRT, hormone replacement therapy. And I'll just say that, you know, for me personally, I am a really positive person. I do a lot of things to maintain a positive mindset. But when I was in the most challenging phase of perimenopause, I started to have quite bad thoughts consistently. I felt like life was a bit grey. That's the way I describe it. Lost the joy, a bit meh, as we say in New Zealand. And I knew that that was something quite wrong, and there wasn't a lot of things that I could do that was going to change it that I wasn't already doing. So for me, the next stage was to visit my doctor and to try hormone therapy. And I'm really lucky. It worked for me. It works for 80% of women who go on it. So that just changed a lot for me. Like, my headspace cleared, my anxiety disappeared, my joint pain went away, and I felt like, okay, I feel more like myself.
Yeah, I think it's so important for people to realize everyone's journey is different. So just because your friend has this particular symptom doesn't mean you're going to have it. And also, different things work for different people. Like, I know for myself, I'm always going to go more the more natural option. However, like I said, I have had a pretty easy ride so far, so I haven't needed things. But I'm more like inflammation, turmeric, you know, happiness, sure, essential oils. And I think it's really important for people to know that there's different options out there, not just do what your bestie's doing, right?
Yeah, look, I agree with you, Natalie. And I think it's really important to know that as we're having this conversation, it's becoming more open, that I see it as a buffet. Like, here are all the things that might help you.
A buffet for the sandwich generation.
Yeah, you just pick and choose. There you go. You just pick and choose the things that are going to work for you. There are obviously a lot of supplements out there that are trying to target this generation. So a lot of women do end up spending money on products and supplements that do not work, have no scientific benefits whatsoever. So just be a little bit careful of that. And that hormones are natural, actually. So a lot of people do see, I mean, you would go to a doctor to get a prescription, but the hormones that you're putting into your body are topping up the hormones that you've lost. So hormone therapy is the natural way to support menopause symptoms. And yeah, it's a buffet. You can try it. You don't have to try it. You can always go off it. No one's holding a gun to your head, you know? So yeah.
Something you mentioned. So if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. Today, I'm talking to Tracy Minot-Nuku. We're talking about menopause, midlife, and the sandwich generation. We would love to hear your thoughts. You can send us a text, 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. What is resonating for you? What have you learned? And maybe reach out to someone in your life if there's some tips here that they might not know about. You can send them the replay later. Something you mentioned, Tracy, was anxiety. And you said that it's something you hadn't had before and suddenly it was happening to you. Interesting. I was coaching a client and not long ago, and they mentioned how they're having this anxiety they've never had. And now I'm going to go back to her and say, hey, honey, it might be menopause. So thank you for that. How does that present for people, and what can they do about it to really support themselves if they are experiencing anxiety?
I want to speak as a woman in the workplace, because for a lot of us, we may start to experience anxiety in the workplace and then it starts to spill over into other aspects of our lives. So for me personally, that was something that was happening. I started to feel anxious, that I was forgetful, brain fog, obviously another symptom of menopause. I wasn't able to remember or retain information. I missed meetings and I couldn't remember names of people that I'd met, you know, and as they're coming towards me, I'm racking my brain thinking, okay, what's their name again? And I should know their name. So that increased my level of anxiety. And then just this feeling, or this pervading feeling, like maybe I'm not cut out for this anymore. And I know a lot of women feel like that. They feel like they've been at their highest performance. And, you know, as they hit their 40th birthday, life begins at 40 and now they're at their highest peak. And then it all feels downhill from there. A lot of that is due to changing hormones. And so, yeah, anxiety presented itself to me mostly in the workplace, just doubting myself, imposter syndrome, call it that, for example. And one of the ways that we are starting to help and support women who are experiencing this is having the conversation at work. So I'm spending quite a bit of time, you know, with businesses, opening up the conversation, running workshops with employees and staff, and really sharing, like, these are the things that are happening to women at this life stage. This is how it affects their bodies mentally, physically, cognitively, emotionally, relationally, all the things. And of course, career-wise, and here are the things that we can do to support women in this environment. Number one, have this conversation, right? So I feel like that's been a game changer. And a lot of women have reached out to me after a workshop, for example, personally reached out and said, when you shared your story about anxiety and how it affected you in the workplace, I got quite emotional because it felt like you were talking about me. So yeah, I just, if any listeners are out there thinking, yeah, that's me, please know it is your hormones and there is lots of things we can do.
I think that's so important. You know, I think back many, many years ago when I wrote my book, which was called If Only They'd Told Me, it's actually about parenting, but it could easily be about menopause. I think a lot of women were like, oh, thank goodness I'm not the only one. And once again, with menopause and this midlife that ladies are going through, to realize I'm not the only one. So thank you for sharing that story. There will be listeners who also, you know, they're working, they're in the workplace, they're probably experiencing really similar things. It's not you, it's menopause. And there's some things you can do about it, is our message from today.
Yeah.
So good. All right. Before we go to the wrap up questions, Tracy, is there anything else you wanted to add in about menopause or midlife or the sandwich generation?
Yeah, I just want to empathize with, I mean, now that we've had this conversation, I realize I'm like, wow, it is really heavy and it is really challenging, but I feel like it brings us through to be quite powerful in our older years. And I want for women to sort of think about all the things that they'd always wanted to do and realize that it's still achievable. This is like a little blip, and it also does help you prioritize what's really important in your life, including relationships. So I just wanted to say, like, I really empathize with women that are actually going through perimenopause, especially if you haven't realized it yet. And that you will come through it and it will be amazing. And there's lots of people that want to talk about it now. So, yeah.
Lovely. So true. Yep. So if you want to talk about it, you can get, we're more than happy to have that dialogue. In a minute, I'm going to ask Tracy how we can reach out to her. But first, I'm going to ask you the Up Your Brave question. If you were to truly up your brave, Tracy, in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, Natalie. So I personally feel like I am doing the best that I can right now. That's another thing that I've realized as I'm getting older. I always make these lengthy, long lists of all these things I want to do and all these people I want to reach out to and partner with and collab with, and then realize there's a finite amount of time and that life is precious other than work, work, work. So upping my brave is staying close to my values and also, like, I have dreams around what I want to achieve in this space with menopause, and I'm just going to stay true to my values and just keep ticking away. So it's probably not like a gung-ho answer for you around, I'm going to chase this or that, but I feel like I'm already on my path and realizing that the path is moving forward. I'm taking steps forward every single day in little ways as well. That's me being brave.
I love that. I think that's such a great message for everybody because, you know, to be able to have the courage to enjoy the journey, right?
Yeah, I'm
enjoying
the journey.
To have the courage to not be like putting masses of pressure on yourself to achieve X, Y, Z. I mean, I think the way that you and I connected is Marty Gibson, who's also a radio host on Marie's show, and he does also the panel as well. Your kids do boxing together, is that right?
Yeah, our boys do boxing classes, yeah. And then we're the parents that sit there and just chat. So there's a few parents and we get together and just chat about life. And yeah, that's how we had this conversation.
But like enjoying the stage that your kids are at and not putting these massive, you know, goals in your business on yourself. I think it's a beautiful balance of enjoying the journey. So that is definitely upping your brave. All right. How can people reach out? How can they follow you on the socials? How can they find you on a website?
So everything is Sexy Aging, and aging was with an E. So I have a website, www.sexyaging.com. And yeah, so you'll be able to find the podcast, the fitness app, like everything's there. And you can also contact me directly there. There's a chat function that you can reach out.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So very important. The first time I emailed you, I think I misspelled it. So sexyaging.com. Is this correct? SexyAging.com.
Yeah, correct.
I think I forgot the E. Thank you. What else is coming up for you in the remaining months of 24? What about 2025? Holidays, business things?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still ticking away with my core business now, which is the fitness app, because it's a subscription-based business. So I want to grow that as much as possible. I've managed to personalize it for subscribers. So it's not like you're one product, one program for all. Like, it's really personalized, the nutrition, the workouts and everything. So I'm just going to keep working on that, the marketing and the communicating and reaching a wider audience. That's my sort of long-term thing.
Is that for midlife women or is it for anybody?
Yeah, for midlife women. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's specifically for women in midlife, right up to about 60. So 40 to 60 bandwidth. And it's, so all the science and everything behind it is there. And then I also run midlife women's retreats in Bali. So we had our first one this year. I've got a couple next year because they did really well. And that is just such a heart moment for me to be in the presence of other women that are sharing and open and have managed to extract themselves from the day to day and come and spend some time with me. I partner with another woman and we sort of cover off a whole lot of topics to help women in this life stage. So that's coming up next year. Looking forward to that. Always look forward to traveling. Yeah.
Pack your suitcase, ladies.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Tracy, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
No, I'm just, thank you for the opportunity, Natalie. It was great talking to you. And thank you for tackling this topic. I think we're busting through some taboos. This could be one of the last ones. So yay, go us.
Amazing. I know. It's so good. Thank you so much, Tracy, for sharing your wisdom with us today. I'm so impressed that you made your own app. You guys definitely go and check it out. And please tell your friends. We want to increase the dialogue all around menopause, midlife, and the sandwich generation. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Some great insights and really good tips from Tracy today. Tracy from sexyaging.com. Make sure you spell it correctly, sexyaging, A-G-E-I-N-G.com. You can find her on the socials, follow her, comment as well. And I love how she gave a lot of tips around perimenopause and menopause and different ideas that you can do so that you can move, eat, sleep, and stress reduce. Amazing. We've got a song coming up that she recommended, Get Your Dancing Feet On. You can stand up and move around maybe. This is 1-2 Step by Ciara and Missy Elliott, followed by a song that my lovely producer Emma has chosen. This is Sunshine Day by Spacefix. Welcome back to the Up Your Brave Show. It is my honor every week to meet with incredible people and to bring them to you. I've got a guest coming up in the coming weeks. I'll be talking to Wayne Forrest, and we're chatting about self-development, reinvention, and showing up as a masculine man. I've got a whole bunch of other incredible guests lined up for you, including Anne-Marie Lyons. We'll be talking about superannuation for Australians, where there may be money on the table you're missing out on. So we're getting a little bit financial. And then, as you know, I love holistic health and well-being. I'll be talking to Carrie Dell about frequency and healing and well-being as well. We would love your requests and your suggestions for guests as well as songs. So definitely send me a message. You can send me a message on the socials, Up Your Brave, or else you can send a message to RCR directly, 2057, on the text or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. We're going to go to a song now. This is called Grandma's Rocket Poem by Troy Kingy. This is a recently released track, which I think you just might like. For those of you that don't know him, Troy is a New Zealand-born actor from such films as Hunt for the Wilder People and Mount Zion, and his talents reach further. He's also a multi-award-winning musician. Enjoy. This is it. Troy Kingy's track, Grandma's Rocket Poem. Well, that is a wrap. That is the Up Your Brave show for this week. Early November, exciting times. Who knows what we're going to be talking about next week with the upcoming election results trickling in. But I just want to invite everybody to maintain that positive and that higher perspective on what is going on in the world. It's hard for me, and I'm trying to do the old everything will be revealed. It's all happening in ideal timing, while also keeping everyone positive. I know on a lot of the other shows, we talk about a lot of the very important things, which we sometimes call the threats, CBDCs and transgender stuff and all sorts of climate stuff and all sorts of things. We cover all the bases here on Reality Check Radio. And I guess in a way, I consider my show to be kind of the antidote to some of that stuff, diving into spirituality, into holistic health and well-being, personal expansion, discovery, reflection. These things are my jam. I hope they are yours too. I appreciate your feedback. I appreciate you joining me here today. After 4 long months, my website is finally up and running. You can check it out, upyourbrave.com. That is what I do for a business when I'm not busy being a radio host or looking after my beautiful elderly people at my job where I'm a community coordinator. So thank you for everything you do. For those of you that will be at the Safe and Effective event, I am going to be there next week. I'm going to be in the studio because I'll be in Queenstown at the Safe and Effective event. It is also happening in Wellington, in Dunedin and Nelson. So definitely get along. I think the website is Roadshow 24. You can look it up. But I'm going to see some of you down there. And I'm also so excited to connect in person with Rodney Hyde and with Paul Brennan and with Dave in the studio. I'm going to do some behind the scenes videos, as well as a little bit, hopefully a little bit of Q&A while I'm down there, a little bit of live callers. Who knows? We'll see. And I'll see you all next week on the Up Your Brave show. Until then, this is my closing song for you. It's Brave by Sarah Bareilles. See you next week.
Everybody's been there, everybody's been stared down by the enemy. Falling for the fear and dancing to
You've been listening to Up Your Brave with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on RCR, Reality Check Radio.